Well, Happy New Year. We welcome you to this brand new year. We have something a little different in store for you today. So first I'm going to let the little ones that are junior church candidates kind of slip out. I encourage the rest of you to find your notes in your bulletin because you're going to need them today. We're going to take a departure from our study in 1 Samuel that we've been doing. I commented to the early service that after speaking on the Sunday before Christmas about the instructions to Saul to go and kill all the Amalekites, and then the Sunday after Christmas, Saul's inflicting Saul with an evil spirit, I thought, I need a break. And this seems like an appropriate time for us to just talk about a particular theme that comes out of the book of Proverbs, but it also gives me an opportunity to give you some input on how to approach the book of Proverbs. Proverbs, found in the Old Testament, of course, it's after the book of Psalms, is a collection of wisdom. It's a truth that has been given by the Lord through a variety of sources, and most of them have been gathered by Solomon, we're told, but he's not the only contributor. And folks come to the Psalms and they're not quite sure how to approach them. A lot of people will read the Psalms, recognizing that there are 31 chapters. They'll just read one chapter each day of the month. And so they work their way through the book of Proverbs on a regular basis, gaining the wisdom that comes from that. And that's a very valid and very good way to approach the book. The method that we're going to use today, well, I've already done on your behalf, is a little different, and one that I would suggest to you for your own study if you're looking for some biblical help on a certain topic. Let's say, for example, you're struggling over some financial questions, or maybe raising children, or marital harmony. What you can do is you go through the book of Proverbs and you write down every proverb that has to do with the theme that you're exploring. And then you take all of those and spread them out, and you begin to categorize them, because a lot of times the proverbs will be saying the same thing just in a slightly different way. And so you gather them in piles that really kind of reflect the same thing. It's really what we've done here today with our study of the tongue. I went through the book of Proverbs and I gathered every single proverb that has to do with the tongue, with speaking, with the things we say. And then I laid them out and I began to put them together with those that were similar in the point that they were making. And I wound up with six piles. Once you find the theme that is true, then the next thing that is valuable for you is to ask yourself the question, what do they say collectively? And so as you force yourself to write your own truth down there, you're coming to grips with what the Proverbs is saying about that particular thing. So it's simply a way to dive into the book of Proverbs and maybe make it advantageous for you. We're going to do that today as we go through the book of Proverbs. We're going to look at several of them that have to do with our speech, with our tongue, with what we say. I would take you to the very first part of your little handout there where it says at the top, we're going to quote James chapter 3, verse 6. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Well, James is a man who's one who speaks frankly, and he tells us that the tongue is a profoundly influential organ of our body and is capable of setting fire even. And so with James warning about what our tongue is like, standing here on the first Sunday of a brand new year, and an opportunity to dive into the book of Proverbs, we're going to together ask the Lord to just lead us into an understanding of his perspective on the use of our tongue. So, having said all of that, let's pray and ask his favor as we immerse ourselves in his text. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the truth that it contains and reveals to us. We thank you for your faithfulness to us. Our prayer, Lord, is as we explore your text here this morning, that you would give direction to our time. Help us, we ask, to have our ears that hear and a heart that is attuned to what you want to say to us. We do recognize, Lord, that our power of speaking is far beyond our realization often. And so our prayer this morning is that you would speak to our hearts and impress upon us the responsibility that we have in how we talk. So give grace to our time in your word this morning, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, what we have done is gathered the Proverbs, and so on your little sheet of paper, we have these six categories, and I've chosen one proverb out of each of them that we're going to actually focus on, but I put the rest of them in the parentheses underneath. So when you see the smaller numbers, those are the other proverbs I found in the book of Proverbs that have to do with the same theme. So let's begin with number one. Number one is from Proverbs 10:19, when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. I have simply said this, a silent tongue is better than a noisy one. A silent tongue is better than a noisy one. The author of Proverbs is saying here that when words are many, sin is inevitable or and not absent. It's transgression is likely. He says, but he who holds his tongue is wise, or restrains his tongue. This language of restraining or holding is an acknowledgement on the part of the author of Proverbs that we are the ones who are in control of our tongue. We have the authority to use it or not use it. It isn't as if our tongue has a will of its own and it simply says whatever it wants to say. It is under the authority of our body. Now, granted, sometimes we may feel like it has a will of its own, but it really is us doing the talking. And so the book of Proverbs points that out. The one who holds his tongue, the one who controls that, is wise. The word is the same word that's used to describe Saul when he would have the trumpet blown to restrain the troops, to call them back to the camp. It's a picture of the authority of the king over his troops and the authority you have over your tongue. And so he says, when words are many, sin is not absent, but the one who constrains that is wise. Well, the reality of transgression through too much talking is sometimes an experience that many of you have felt. You realize that you probably said just a bit too much. You went a little farther than you intended. You got into it, and your audience was captivated and listening, and the next thing you know, you've said things you wish you hadn't said. You've gone places that you wish you hadn't gone. When I was in the Navy, I had transitioned from my duty station on the East Coast out to the West Coast at Port Hueneme, where I was getting some additional instruction. And while I was there, I knew that a good friend of mine from my college days was stationed also at Port Hueneme. And so I had an opportunity during one day. I had some extra time, and I decided to go find my friend. So I got in my car, and I set off driving to find him. He was at a completely different location on the base, and I wasn't exactly sure how to get there, but I figured I'll find it. And as I was driving, I got completely out of the area that I was familiar with. And not only that, I got into another area that I thought, boy, this certainly looks awfully quiet around here. And as I was driving along, trying to figure out where in the world I was, I noticed in my rearview mirror a military pickup with a red light going around. So I stopped, and the guy said, what are you doing here? I said, well, I'm looking for my friend. He said, you're in a restricted area. Get out of here. Well, with the too much driving, transgression was inevitable. And indeed, I got out of where I should have been. But that's what the author of Proverbs is saying. With too much talking, transgression, sin becomes inevitable. And so a silent tongue is better than a noisy one. I like the wag who once said, the Lord gave us two ears and one mouth. That ought to tell us something about the proportions of how we use them. We need to be aware that sometimes we just need to be silent. Someone after the first service commented that I could have used Benjamin Franklin's comment about it is better to keep your mouth closed and only be thought a fool than to open it and remove all doubt. And so a silent tongue is better than a noisy one. The second place or the second stack of verses that came out of Proverbs is number two, a significant tongue is better than a worthless one. We're going to use Proverbs 10:21 in our study here. The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of judgment. Well, again, we're told here in this proverb that the capability of the tongue, the lips of the righteous, is actually able to bring about nourishment. It's able to feed the hearer. It's able to encourage, sustain, support, uplift the one who's receiving that. It's possible for them to benefit from that. But fools, he says, die for lack of judgment. The importance here is that our tongue is capable of being significant. It's capable of building into the lives of others and making a difference in their world. I read about, and I think I've shared with you in times past, but by way of reminding you, I read about a study that was done in a college or university context where the professor was in cahoots with the ones who were actually doing the measuring. And this man would alternately criticize and commend his students throughout the course of the class. And so at the right time, when he wanted to make an accusatory or a negative comment, when the student would say something, he would say to him, "Well, now that doesn't even make sense. I've never heard such a silly remark." And then other times he would say positive or affirming things. Well, through this study, they realized that it took seven affirmations, seven affirming things to neutralize the impact of one negative comment. When one negative comment was used, it took seven times that professor coming back with an affirmation to bring that thing just back to normal, back to a participating student. And so it is powerful, the effect of the tongue, powerful in its effect to crush, powerful in its effect to discourage and to criticize and to cause the heart to wither. But the proverb here is a reminder to us that a significant tongue, a nourishing tongue, one that feeds the heart, is one that builds up and lifts up. So the necessity for us is to be those who are listening to what Proverbs is saying about, Lord, what kind of a tongue do you want? First of all, don't say too much. Secondly, when you do say something, make it significant. Make it something that is nourishing to others. There was a woman who was doing some mission work in India. She had gathered a group of ladies, and she was explaining to them of the delights of the Lord Jesus Christ. And suddenly, one of the women present just got up and walked out. And she was gone for a little while, and then she came back in and sat back down and was just very attentive. And so when the session got over, she went over to this woman and she said, "Why did you leave? Was it something that I said? Did I offend you in some way?" She says, "Oh, not at all." She says, "Everything you were saying was so marvelous, so wonderful." She says, I got up to go out and ask your driver if it was really true of you. And your driver said, yes, it was. I rushed right back in to catch every word. You know, a significant tongue. It catches the listeners. It draws folks in. It reminds them of the power of the word. Number three, then, is taken from Proverbs 12:19. A sincere tongue is better than a lying one. As we look at number three, look at Proverbs 12:19. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. One of the things that it's helpful to know about Hebrew poetry is this whole concept of the couplet. You'll notice each one of these as we go through, they're always pairs. There's always a statement followed by another statement. Now, sometimes the Hebrew poet is making a statement, and then his couplet, his second half, will be a term that actually modifies the first half, or it'll be an expression that takes it to another level. There's a variety of things that can happen. It can be like synonymous. It can be saying the same thing two different ways, or it can be an amplification where it says one and then it'll say even more. Or sometimes it's by contrast, which is what we see here. It'll say one thing and then it'll say the opposite. Hebrew poetry always occurs in these couplets. You'll see this in Proverbs. You'll see it in Psalms. Sometimes you'll see couplets coupled so that the first part of the couplet will actually be two parts, and maybe it'll say the truth, and then the second part of that will be an amplification, and then the second couplet will come right along and maybe say the opposite, and it'll be an amplification of that. So it helps when you're reading Hebrew poetry to understand the style that it uses. And so we encounter that here with number three. He is using opposites. A truthful lip endures forever, but a lying tongue lasts only for a moment. This enduring capacity. And so he says it is a necessity for us that we be sincere, that we have integrity to our speech, that what we're saying is the right thing. It's the correct thing. It is, it's a matter of love to us. In fact, the New Testament talks to us about the importance of speaking the truth in love. We have an obligation to one another that we be those who communicate to each other with integrity. This is January. This is now the start of the third year for David and Alan as they're engaged in this convergence program down in Portland. And so later this month, both of them will be going through an assessment. And the purpose of the assessment is to look at them and what they've been able to do over the first 2 years and make a decision on whether or not they will continue through the third year in terms of entering into a role of ministry. And one of the things that characterizes this whole convergence program has been refreshing candor. Almost brutal honesty, but an honesty that is a truth, speaking in love. Now, they've not only learned that from their professors, but they've learned that together as a group of guys studying. And so when one of them preaches, the others will weigh in on what they thought. And they're pretty honest about what they think because they realize that that's how they're going to grow. They're going to grow by the honesty of it. They need to know where it's weak or theologically shaky so that they can work on that. And so it's a matter of a sincere tongue that just tells each other what we really need to hear. I got a phone call this last week from a man who's not a part of Mountain View. He's not here. I'm not talking out of school here. But he was calling because he said, I have a problem in my marriage, and it's really affecting my relationship with my wife. And she's described me as a person who is hard on others. I put people down. And he said, I think that's probably true. because my father did that. He put people down, and so I think I've just picked up the way he talks. And he says, and I don't know what to do about it. I don't even hardly see myself doing that. And I said to him, well, he asked if I had any ideas, and I said, well, I do have one. And it borrows from this concept of speaking sincerely, of not lying. I said, what you could do is you could get six of your closest friends and bring them into your house, feed them a dinner, and then look them in the eye and tell them what you just told me. That you have a problem of talking down to people, of making them feel bad. And because it's come from your childhood, you have a hard time seeing it or recognizing it when it happens. And I said, and then you give them permission as your close friends to call you on it when they see it. You tell them that you need them to do that and give them permission to speak into your life on that. Well, he liked that idea. He says, I can do that. And so I said, well, you do that and then call me back because I'd like to know how it goes for you. A sincere tongue is better than a lying tongue. The necessity of us being honest with each other. There was a man who was seeing his doctor. He had gone into the doctor because he was, just not feeling very good, and he was lethargic and couch potato. He had had even more Christmas candy than I ate this year. He was kind of just a lazy slob. And so he went to the doctor, and the doctor said to him, well, he said, I can tell you what's wrong with you. And the guy said, well, lay it on the line, doctor, I need to know. And he says, you're just lazy. You're a lazy bum. And the doctor says, I can handle that. I said, now what's the medical term for that so I can tell my wife? No, we got to be sincere, not lying. Well, number four, a sensible tongue is better than a foolish one. And all we're doing is taking all these proverbs and sort of pushing them into piles where they are saying the same thing. And so these little verses that you see down below, you can see that there's quite a few that address this particular theme, that a sensible tongue is better than a foolish one. We're going to use Proverbs 15:2. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. The tongue of the wise is the individual who is constantly growing and learning how to be a contributor into the lives of others. You've seen it. I certainly have seen it. There are some people who kind of just stopped growing. And their contribution in a conversation is always a rehash of the same things that they've been saying all the other times. It's like they kind of grew along in their Christian life and then just had an arrested development. And they love to hear the sound of their voice, but it's always the same thing. It's not been pressed on into what God has next for you. There's a need for us, if we're going to be those who obey this proverb of those who contribute knowledge, who bring about knowledge into a conversation, that we ourselves are growing, that you're a reader of books and a listener to tapes, and you're engaged in the Bible and studying it so that you have something to contribute. If it's just a rehash of the same thing that you've been saying for years, it's time for you to learn how to make a wise contribution of knowledge, as Proverbs 15:2 says. Here's one guy's comment. He says, I know you think you understand what you thought I said, but I'm not sure, really sure, you know that what I said is not what I meant. Okay, if that's clear for you, then you can explain it to me. Well, the tongue of the wise commends knowledge. They're the one who is contributing to the advancement. They're contributing to the conversation. But the mouth of the fool simply gushes folly. It's just yakking, droning on and on without any contribution. Number five, a soothing tongue is better than a cruel one. A soothing tongue is better than a cruel one. This is from Proverbs 15:4. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Well, there are several other proverbs that you can see that are touching on that same theme about a cruel tongue and the necessity for what we say to be soothing. When it talks about crushing the spirit, it really is true. There is the capacity of the tongue, of what we say, to destroy, to crush, to break down, is very great. We have the ability to lift up, and we have the ability to tear down, the ability to encourage and to bring out the extra effort on the part of others, and the ability to shut them down completely. Parents particularly need to dwell on the truth of a proverb like this and consider how your impatience or being angry or even just having a bad day can contribute to the way that you're talking to your kids that is crushing to their spirit. And so you bring your tongue before the throne of God and say, Lord, I'm in charge of what comes out of my mouth. And even though I find it easy to say what I should not be saying because of what's going on in my heart or my world, I'm responsible for it. And a soothing tongue is a better thing than a cruel one, because a cruel one brings destruction. Have you ever noticed how every time you ever go to the doctor for an exam, they'll tell you to stick out your tongue? And they put a depressor in there, and they look at your tongue and your throat. But it's amazing how the tongue, even in the medical realm, is an indicator of what's going on down inside your physical body. It's also true that what's coming out in terms of your speech is a measure of what's going on in your heart. And that needs to be brought right before the Lord, because a soothing tongue is better than a cruel one. Well, all of these proverbs come together in these different piles. We've got one more, number six. A soft tongue is better than a rash one. A soft tongue is better than a rash one. We're going to use Proverbs 25:15. Through patience, a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. The Proverbs were actually collected to a large part by Solomon, who was the king of Israel. And so Solomon, in terms of his contributions, is among those who would say that even a king can be persuaded when you are gentle, when you are patient. When he says that even a bone can be broken, he is simply saying that the gentle pressure can bring about the transition. I'm not sure how many of you can testify personally to experiences where your mind was made up, but someone who was wise just gently continued to offer this alternative until finally your spirit, your mind could swing around and join in with them. It's the truth of what's here in this proverb, and that is that through patience, a ruler can be persuaded, that a soft tongue brings about the transformation or the change. And so there's an opportunity for us to walk in a patience and in a gentleness as we're using that to communicate with others. I've shared, I think it was at the men's breakfast, and so if this is an old story, forgive me. But there was a woman who had a pet macaw, a bird that was had just had this horrible hacking cough. And so she decided that the poor bird needed to go to the vet and figure out what was wrong with it before she lost it. So she took the bird to the vet, and the vet checked the bird all over, and he turned to her and he said, actually, lady, there's nothing wrong with your bird. It's great. And she says, well, how come it has this terrible hacking cough? He says, because it's a macaw, and it's simply copying your hacking cough. It was just picking up on what she was doing. Well, that's the truth about our tongue. It reflects, it picks up on what we're saying, on what we are doing, which brings us to the conclusion of it all, And that is simply this: we must be careful of what we say and how we say it. The challenge for us, I think, especially on this day as we begin a brand new year, is to recognize the power of the tongue as the book of Proverbs lays it out. This is just one way to approach a fascinating book and to mine it for all the truth that it contains. But, you know, we've done nothing if we've mined it, if we haven't taken it to heart and say, Lord, watch my tongue. I want to be among those who honor you with what I say. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your tongue, your instruction to us about the tongue. And our prayer is, Lord, that you would indeed make us those who are obedient to your heart and to your will, that we would be found to be among those who are encouraging the saints and lifting up the downcast. That when we speak the truth, we speak it in love, that we guard our tongue and we recognize its profound power and influence, even to the point of setting a fire, as you said through James. And so I pray, Lord, for all of us, that that which we say would first pass the throne of grace before it leaves our lips. Grant us, we pray, the ability to honor you with all we say. For we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.